groups out at Fresno State, and we're going to be having a guest here later on. But before we do, we're going to be going over some calendar items. Can we run the calendar, Mike? No. Okay. We're going to be going over some calendar items that are of events that are going to be coming up. Tonight, Wednesday, April 6th, there's going to be a free poetry jam out at Fresno State. It's going to be at 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock at the Coffee House, the CSUF Coffee House and Pub. And then tomorrow night, April 7th, at 5 o'clock at Full Circle Brewery, we're going to have, they're going to present the Art Hop Reception for Autumn S. Licioni, and that's called the Broken Spirit Photographic Exhibition, and it's going to be an exhibition in black and white. And there's going to be music by Joel Pickford and Dean McDonald. And Friday and Saturday night, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there's going to be a conference for Peace Centers, but that's going to be in Sonoma County, Santa Rosa. So if you're interested in meeting with Peace Centers throughout the state, you can call 237-3223. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Fresno Films Works is going to be presenting a World Film Festival, and it's going to be at the Tower Theater. And they're going to have films from Germany and Turkey and Hungary. The first film, which is going to be on Friday, is called Head On, and that's from the U.S. And there's going to be also the film Tarnation. And there's going to be a film from Senegal, which is called Mulade. And then on Sunday is going to be a film from Hungary called Gloomy Sunday. And that's going to be at the Tower Theater. So that's going to be their World Film Festival, and that's going to be over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the Tower Theater is, of course, is on Olive at Fulton. So if you'd like more information about that, you can call 221-0577. Also, next Wednesday on April 13th, there's going to be a free monthly video. It's part of the Peace Fresno, of the Fresno Center for Nonviolence monthly video series, and they're going to be showing the control room. The Peace Center, if you don't know, is on the corner of Van Ness and McKinley. It's the southeast corner there, just across from City College. And they're going to be showing Control Room, which is a really interesting documentary about the Al-Jazeera network, talking about, you know, showing their coverage of the invasion of Iraq and kind of the experience that they had in terms of how they were treated by the U.S. military through that process. It's a very interesting film. So if you haven't seen it, you might want to go by. That's going to be next Wednesday, April 13th. They're going to show it at noon, and then they're going to show it again at 7:30 at the Fresno Center for Nonviolence. And our guest, Ruth Opel, has arrived. And welcome to the studios, Ruth.
Thank you. Obel Jorgensen, actually.
Okay,
it's
Jorgensen.
Very long, yeah.
Okay, I forgot. Oh, I didn't get all of your names.
No. It's
okay. Wrong. Okay. And Ruth, you're a student at Fresno State, right?
Yeah, I'm a graduate student in social work.
Okay, and you're involved with a student organization on campus.
Right now, I'm the president of the Campus Peace and Civil Liberties Coalition. We've been on campus since about 2001.
Okay, great. And I understand you had a press conference today about some infiltration and spying that's been going on campus. Is that correct?
Yes, we had a press conference today followed by a panel to discuss the incidences that Campus Peace has recently discovered through several meetings with our Dean of Student Affairs and the Campus Chief of Police, David Huerta. It was confirmed that there were two undercover intelligence community officers at one of our events last semester in November. So based on the things we know about past actions in Fresno in regards to groups being infiltrated and arrests being made and files being logged, we just feel the obligation to bring this to the forefront and urge the university to stand up for civil liberties.
Okay, so you had a press conference today making mm-hmm. specific demands to the university?
Yeah, we've actually had the ACLU file a California Public Records request, and within that, I believe there's 10 different items, and they more or less touch on wanting to know who this intelligence community was, what they were doing there, what files were collected, for what reasons, what are they doing with them, what are the policies the school has on allowing outside presence to come in and monitor students. So we are asking the university to reply fully to the ACLU, CAPRA, and in addition, we're asking them to acknowledge that this is an illegal activity. Our Attorney General has stated so, our California Constitution has stated so, that these are illegal activities, that if you're going to be monitoring or investigating anyone, it needs to have probable cause, someone needs to be doing some form of illegal activity, of which we are not. We are a peace group trying to get out different issues that are going on in our world, and we want our students to be cognizant of those, so we don't in any way feel we're doing anything wrong, therefore we should not be monitored as if we are. And we're also asking the university to adopt some policies and procedures that do protect civil liberties and academic freedom of their students and their faculties.
Okay, so why don't we kind of step back a little bit? So you're with a group called the Campus Coalition for Peace and Civil Liberties, mm-hmm. and so what are some of the activities that you guys do?
We're known very well for our Middle East forums. We've consistently offered a forum to discuss issues regarding the Middle East, a lot of things regarding Palestine and the occupation of Palestine. We are very active around the war and speaking out against the war and the occupation of Iraq. And we also touch on animal rights. That's what our speaker was there for, who was monitored. He was there to speak about becoming a vegan and how we should think about the choices we make in terms of our health and our dietary needs, and environmental concerns, of course. And let me see, last semester we were very active around Get Out the Vote campaigns, trying to get students to get out there and make a change in our world, which unfortunately didn't happen as we wanted. But
So how was it that, so you've been setting up forums and having speakers and sort of being a general educational type of activities. Mm-hmm. So how was it that you found out that you were being infiltrated or spied on?
Just one more thing I want to mention. We've actually even received 2 awards from the university for having the most outstanding educational activities. So it's very ironic.
So you have like well attended events.
Mm-hmm. We have well attended. Some are small and some are very large. So it's a broad range. It just depends on what we get out there and the interest. But the way we found out was through discussions with, like I said, our Dean of Student Affairs, Dr. Paul Oliaro, and our Chief of Police, David Huerta. What had occurred with the first event with Gary Yarosky, our guest, we actually were requested to have our room changed that very same day. And the chief of police said it was a security concern because it was placed by our student activities. Our activity was placed in the ag department. So here we have an animal rights and the ag department. So they requested we moved, and we found out later by the chief of police that it was the ag department who was upset that this event was going to be placed in their building, quote unquote. So following that, the next week we had brought in a speaker for the Middle East forums, and at that time I was contacted by the chief of police personally, questioning why we were bringing this person, who they were, what they were going to be talking
about. You were contacted by the Fresno City Chief of Police?
Our campus police. Okay. So when I say the Chief of Police, I'm talking about our campus police. I haven't had any discussions with the city.
Okay.
So our campus police chief contacted me, and I actually went in. He requested that I go in to talk to him, and we had a conversation for about an hour, mm-hmm. Which is very civil and diplomatic, but he was clearly there to ask me what we were doing and what our intentions were and why we were bringing this person. Mm-hmm. there were also some concerns around an outside speakers policy that's never been implemented to student organizations, and the chief was attempting to implement it upon us. And now that's what they're trying to do with student groups, is get us to fill out this 8-signature form to bring any speakers on campus, which is really absurd. Majority of campuses in California have a 1-signature process. And the school is changing that, and we're urging Welty to make the changes that the committee has made to this policy. But it was through those actions that we met with my Dean of Student Affairs, and we requested to have this further answered by Dr. Welty, and Dr. Welty set up an additional meeting with the Dean of Student Affairs. So there was all these meetings going on since November, and February is when we had our last meeting, where it was confirmed that there were 2 undercover officers from an outside intelligence community, and our campus chief of police just went around the issue of who it was. And
Okay, so let's step back. Step back a minute. Okay, so you were having discussion with the chief of police at Fresno State.
Yes.
Okay, and talking about various policies and arrangements to have your speakers come, and he told you that you were being infiltrated by an outside law enforcement group?
Well, he had originally implied it in a past meeting. There's a committee that was set up to review this policy, it was stating, and they called in the chief of the campus chief of police, because they were concerned about the actions that had taken place around this, like me being called in or rooms being changed, all these kind of little things that get in the way of students being able to organize on campus. So they called him in to question him, and at that time, he was questioned.
So who called him in? A committee of...
The committee, the outside speakers policy committee wanted to speak with him. So there's representatives from the higher administration on that committee. There's two or three professors, I believe, and then there's also 2 students from the AS, our associate students that are on this committee. Mm-hmm. So they were concerned themselves about the actions that had taken place, and they called him in, and one of the professors questioned why there were not any police present at our first event with Gary Yourofsky, and the chief's response was, how do you know there weren't any? So it was implied at that time. So when we had these meetings after, we kept on asking about it. Mm-hmm. And our first meeting with our Dean of Student Affairs, he stated that he didn't see a problem with it, and didn't see what our concern was, and that they're trying to just ensure the safety. And So
the implication being that there was undercover...
Yeah, it was implied.
Yeah.
And then our meeting in February, it was confirmed.
Okay, And we're talking with... Ruth Opal Jorgensen, who is a member of the Coalition for Peace and Civil Liberties at Fresno State. And we're talking about the issue of police infiltration, spying on student groups at Fresno State. So you basically found out about this from discussions with the campus police, but he was trying to be vague about it.
Yeah, it was very vague, because I even questioned specifically who these people were, and his answers more or less were usually, or I don't know about things, and when they do tell me about things, I can't even release that information. And I feel if the university is really interested in actually protecting the civil rights and academic freedom of our students, then they will be very concerned with this issue as well, and they'll want to put a stop to this type of activity. And they have the power, I believe, to find out who it is and to eliminate this type of thing from happening.
So the implication here is that these law enforcement people were coming in with the permission of the university.
Chief David Huerta clearly knew that they were there, and if they're not stopping it, then they're allowing it.
right. Okay, and I just want to let our listeners know that we did call Chief of Police David Huerta and ask him to be a guest today also, but he did not. We were informed that he was not going to be here today, and the office did not take action to send another representative. So I just wanted to let our audience know that we did. We have asked them to participate in this conversation. So what happened next?
So what happened next? Well, we've been talking with the ACLU. We've been gathering with some local civil rights activists and trying to figure out what to do. And professors are very concerned about this. Students are very concerned about this. And I really feel it's a duty. It's an ethical obligation that we have to bring this to the forefront. These type of tactics have been seen in the past, and we're organizing around bringing this to light. This was our week one to bring this out to the mainstream. We've known about it since February, and we're ready to go. We're very organized. We're a very large group of students, and we expect to get larger, and we expect to have great community support. We already do, and great faculty support at Fresno State. And we had, like I said, we had our press conference today, and we had a panel. Next week, we're gonna go from there. We're talking about, we want to pressure the university. So, which in any way that we can, whether it's getting letters out there, getting people who are concerned to make phone calls, letting the university know, you know, how they feel about this, and that it is clearly a breach on our civil liberties, and they're not given to us, and we need to fight for them. So we're gonna keep at it until we get a response from the university, and we get them to actually do what they're supposed to be doing, which is protecting students.
So did you actually deliver the demand to Welty, or who specifically are you?
Our CAPRA has been sent to David Huerta, Chief Huerta. However, when we've been addressing what we've been doing now is addressing also Dr. Welty. He's ultimately responsible for our campus and our students, and I feel he needs to be involved in this. I attempted to contact him by emailing him originally my concerns, and he assigned the Dean of Student Affairs to work on that, and it seemed to me as far as they were considered, the case was closed, and they didn't think there was a really big issue with it, based, you know, from what I can tell. So I look forward to hearing from Dr. Welty, from him specifically, because I think that this is an issue that he should be taking part in. So we are definitely directing it towards the upper administration.
So when you say the case is closed, what exactly did they say? Did they say that this wasn't going to happen again, or
Well, we received a letter, because I still insisted that the school write us a letter, because we were requesting a letter in regards to the actions of the campus and in terms of why our rooms were moved, what were the policies and procedures on campus, and we were never given anything like that. In our last meeting in February, I insisted that they write us a letter in regards to what we had been meeting about, and they wouldn't give us anything with details, because they said then that would bring in lawyers. So they gave us a general statement, and it mentioned nothing about talking about undercover officers. In our last meeting, that was what we predominantly spoke about, is, you know, how are you going to protect your campus? You know, what if we're labeled as some terrorist group? How are you going to ensure that students are protected on this campus? And we spoke about that predominantly in that conversation. And when we got a recap there, Dr. Oliaro sent me a letter, and his recap mentioned nothing about that whatsoever. And it was more or less something general of the university supports academic freedom and growth, and that they're going to change the outside speakers policy so it's not an infringement upon students engaging in civic participation. So they sent us, it was just a very general response, and it just seemed like that they felt that that was going to be good enough.
So, in other words, they were backing away from their, you have to get 8 signatures and...
Yeah, definitely. Actually, the Outside Speakers Policy Committee has revised the policy, and for student groups, they have it set up where we should just be able to go to our student activities office, say we're doing this event, and they'll siphon that out to all the needed places. And it will not be an approval process. It'll be a notification process.
Okay.
So they're changing that, and we just need Dr. Welty to sign that, because the proposal's been sent, and the faculty on this committee are very happy with it, I believe. So... That should all be changed. That should not be a problem. That's where we're really focusing on this knowledge of our civil liberties being violated by having these undercover officers at our event.
So we've had I'd like to just kind of let our listeners know we do have a phone number here if people would like to call, if they have questions, comments, opinions about this situation where we are having in law enforcement infiltrating student groups at Fresno State undercover. The number here is 266-8888. The number again is 266-8888. We're right now going into hearings in Washington where there's discussion about renewing the Patriot Act, and there's been hearings Alberto Gonzalez has been interviewed about this and talking about making changes in the Patriot Act. We've also seen a number of other incidents in Fresno of other groups that have been infiltrated. It looks like we do have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys. I just want to comment on the thing on Fresno State as far as the infiltration of spies and you willed them to student organizations. I have a slight feeling toward the college because they have an obligation to protect all students, and you have to make sure that not one student is organizing a plot toward another student, such as even whacked out capitalist, free enterprise libertarians need protection also. And so you have to make sure that one group is not being antagonistic toward another group. And so I don't see it as all bad. And I'm sorry, and I understand it. You always feel offended and violated if you have someone in your group who is not what you thought they were. But they do have the obligation to protect all students, and they need to make sure that every student group is peaceful.
Okay. Well, we thank you for your comment. I will give Ruth an opportunity to respond. Thank you for your comment.
Okay.
Definitely, the university has to protect all students. However, when is a line drawn from the protection that we need and the civil liberties that we're losing for this? Our group has never had any probable cause for any investigation. And according to our attorney general and to the Constitution of California, there needs to be some form of probable cause, some suspicion that we're doing some form of illegal activity, some criminal activity. And here we are, a peace group. What the caller is stating is, if that's okay, then that means, you know, the university is going to spend their time, the law enforcement is going to spend their time, time that they should be using to actually really protect the community, to sit in on these groups and make sure that, you know, these groups aren't involved in petty, I don't know, arguments or things with other students on campus. I mean, there really needs to be something much more than we need to protect one another. And that's the argument of the university, is that it's a...
And it seems as though it's really about the disagreement with the speech itself, that since it's not a pro-Republican, it's not a pro-war speech. We have another caller. We're going to take that caller in just a second. That's what's triggering it. It's the political speech, which is, of course, what is is problematic in terms of the First Amendment. Right?
Yeah, we definitely want to know that.
Right. Okay, we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air?
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, you know, I think the last caller missed the point altogether. What is happening at Fresno State is an example of what's going on in this country right now. With the present administration and the whole idea about using whatever force is necessary to protect students as a force, what is happening in this country that we are slowly losing our civil liberties under the guise of safety, under the guise of these other things. And I'm happy to see these students taking this on, because unless someone does, we're going to wake up one morning and find out that all the power is in the White House and in the hands of folks who care very little about civil liberties.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. Thank you.
That was great.
Okay, and we were talking about... there has been a number of incidents in Fresno. It seems as though Fresno is sort of like an epicenter of this kind of activity on the part of law enforcement. There's been an incident with Peace Fresno, which was infamously infiltrated, and then we're reading in the paper this morning that there was an undercover law enforcement, and we have another caller, and we're going to take that caller in just a second. That there was another undercover law enforcement at the rally in the valley a week or so ago. So we seem to be seeing this activity more in Fresno than we are anywhere else, perhaps. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Jim. I just wanted to thank you for doing the program second the last caller who talked in terms of probable cause. And it's one of those things that we seem to be losing track of as it relates to civil rights in this country. I thank you very much for doing what you're doing on the campus, and thank you very much for having this program.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. Okay, and you know, I mean, one of the things that has thoughts that has occurred to me is that, you know, we are always, and I don't know, maybe this is a particularly unhelpful attitude, I don't know, but I always feel like if the police or the law enforcement really don't have anything really, you know, important to be doing, like protecting us from corporate crime, for example, which would be really wonderful if they did protect us from, you know, being poisoned by corporations, that maybe we're spending too much money on the law enforcement, and maybe, you know, we need to look for, you know, some, you know, reductions in law enforcement. It just seems as a particularly in Fresno, we have so many incidents of law enforcement apparently don't have anything useful to do with their time and are you know, getting in, you know, intervening in people's civil liberties. So maybe that might be one possible solution. Do you see any connection here? Do you think this is a particularly Fresno problem, or how do you see this?
It's definitely a nationwide problem. Whether it was there or not before September 11th and the passing of the Patriot Act and whatnot, it's gotten way worse. And I think it's everywhere. I mean, I've read different cases on several other campuses where situations similar to this have happened. And it's very predominant in Fresno, just as you said. I mean, a few years ago, there was the infiltration of the United Students Against Sweatshops. And then there was Peace Fresno. And there's this other recent incident with Peace Fresno. And here we have this this thing here on campus. And it's really unfortunate that whether or not they actually think they're going to find tangible information, that they're inflicting this fear upon everyone. They're inflicting this fear upon students that if they get engaged in something that they really strongly believe about, like human rights, and then they're going to be targeted for that. They're going to be monitored or spied on or recorded just because of what they believe in. And they are fighting for the rights that people like Martin Luther King fought for and people like Cesar Chavez fought for. And it's very unfortunate that these type of things are happening in this country that we claim to be so free. And I really think that our university should, you know, stand up with us and support their students.
Okay, great. Do you have any little piece of advice that you could give other people, maybe students who run high schools or students who are in other campuses, or in terms of how to fight this kind of activity, if they discover it in their group?
Education is a big thing, and I think it really comes down to solidarity and standing together and being able to communicate with one another and not letting this intimidation get in your way. We've known about this for a while, and it's really has been the support. Not only that, I ethically believe that I need to say something about this, but it's been the support of the community and other students. So to come out and talk to other students and stand by what you believe in, stand firmly in what you believe in, and find out what your civil liberties are and your rights, and don't think that you're alone. There's so many people out there that are so supportive, and do something, speak to somebody, something will happen, and together we can do it.
Okay, we're going to need to, do we have another phone call? No. Okay, we're going to need to wrap it up in a couple minutes here. We've been talking with Ruth Opal Jorgensen, who is a representative of the Coalition for Peace and Civil Liberties at Fresno State, and we've been talking about big press conference that happened today, a big event on campus to protest the infiltration by law enforcement of this very peaceful and very, very productive student group. And we'd like to thank you very much for coming. And we'd like to thank our listeners for listening to Stir It Up. And like to remind you that next Wednesday at 4:30, we're going to have Richard Stone from the Fresno Center for Nonviolence is going to be hosting Stir It Up. So thank you very much. Thank you, Ruth. And we're going to go back to Hard Knock Radio at KPFA.
Thank you for joining us here at KFCF 88.1 FM. And don't forget to
Stir It Up
every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4 p.m.